Well, hundreds of thousands of commuters have been hit for a second day by the Dublin bus dispute. Estimated about 200,000 people have been discommoded. More efforts will be made this week to resolve the strike, but there's also concern that it may escalate. Martin Wall is the industry correspondent of the Irish Times. Martin, good morning to you.
Good morning, Miles.
The timing is interesting here. It's taking place over a bank holiday weekend. Obviously, a number of people have been affected, but not as many affected as if today was a working day. Was there an assumption, or is there an assumption, that this will be or would be a two-day affair like the bus Éireann strike?
Well, I don't think it can be definitive and say that it will be a two-day or three-day. You know, disputes, when you get to the stage, can tend to have a life of their own, but the situation can change literally within an hour. And you have to look literally hour by hour, probably. But as of now, there are no moves afoot that we're aware of to settle this. I would be very surprised if there wasn't tic-tacking going on between various people in the course of the day. With the possibility of an intervention by a body such as the Labour Relations Commission over the next day or so. But using the model that we saw, as you mentioned, in Bus Éireann, where there was a two-day dispute, the staff did place pickets. The pickets went on for 2 days. There was an intervention. And the model that was used then was basically that the LRC intervened. They asked the management to hold back on implementing their cost-cutting plan, their unilateral move to implement the plan. The union, for its part, was asked to call off the strike to facilitate the talks. And then the deal that was originally on the table was modified, and it was accepted ultimately by the various parties, and that was the settlement. That is probably the more likely scenario. The timescales for it obviously can vary. We'll have to see, but that is probably the more likely scenario that we will see. However, as you mentioned earlier, there are other scenarios that could play out if there was no intervention, because the Labour Relations Commission has to judge this very carefully. There's no point intervening too soon. That they have to make an assessment that the parties in any dispute are in a space to actually do a deal. So when they if there was an intervention that failed, it would make matters worse. And certainly, you mentioned earlier about it spreading. Certainly, some union sources are indicating, or have indicated, that there could be it could spread to the railways, and that could happen if there was no movement. That could happen by the middle to the end of the week. So that would place the scenario in this whole dispute in a completely different space at that stage, if that was actually to happen.
Okay, so it's all very delicate, requiring a lot of diplomacy. But there's a suggestion also, I think, today that the Labour Court may actually tweak its recommendations. Is that the case? And if that is the case, would the Labour Relations Commission hold back until that happens?
Yeah, that's a kind of an administrative decision that would have to be taken. There's two paths, basically, you could look at. The Labour Court made a recommendation that has been rejected by the staff side. The Labour Court could decide that it might want to tweak its own recommendations. That would be one avenue that could go down. The other avenue would be that the Labour Relations Commission could intervene. That's a kind of an administrative issue that will have to be decided by the industrial relations process of the state as to which avenue an intervention would come from. But that could be very easily sorted out. The more difficult scenario will be in relation to the parties to the dispute. Are they in a position where they're in a position to compromise on a deal, or they feel they're in a position to compromise on a deal? That can be more problematical, and that's where the diplomacy and the keen judgment actually is required. But so, as I say, I think the likely scenario is that we will see tic-tacking. The timescale, whether it's sufficiently advanced to allow for buses to services to resume tomorrow, and we have to bear in mind, I think you said earlier on, there are, on a normal bank holiday weekend, there are about 230,000 people carried by Dublin bus services. If you go into a normal midweek, that jumps to about 400,000. So it may be slightly less in August, but they're the ballpark figures we're talking about. If this continues when the working week resumes tomorrow.
So where we are at the moment is in relation to intervention, presumably from the Labour Relations Commission. Too early, and the sides are still too gung ho. The intervention could fail spectacularly. Too late, and the whole dispute could spread.
Yeah, that's the situation. That's the judgment call that has to be made. That are the parties ready to do a deal, and then you bring them together. The and as I say, if there's no intervention or the intervention fails, well then, as you say, the whole thing could backfire. If you had a situation, if the rail workers became involved, as the Minister Leo Varadkar made it quite clear, yes, that he would consider that to be an unlawful situation, that there was no strike ballot in Irish Rail. They're different companies. They're part of the same group, but they're different companies. I would imagine you'd be looking at the company in such a scenario, and we're speculating here, that such a scenario, there could be legal issues involved in that. The other part would be is that there are consequences for all sides, would appear, that in the event of there being a protracted dispute at Dublin Bus, the issue of its contract with the National Transport Authority could be in question, because it's not like the old days where CIE just got a block grant. Now the situation is that it actually has a contract to provide public transport services for a specific number of routes and whatever, and that if that is considered to be frustrated or wasn't being delivered, well then the possibility would be open for losing some of its subvention or fines. Now secondly, there could be consequences potentially for the trade union movement arising from, if this was to escalate or continue, that one of the big campaigns of the trade union movement, and we'll hear a lot more about this in the autumn, will be a campaign to try have the government to introduce legislative reform to give unions greater scope in relation to collective bargaining, greater rights for collective bargaining for workers and companies that don't recognise unions or don't deal with unions. Some very senior political sources were suggesting yesterday that if this was to escalate and get worse, that could undermine that case at Cabinet as it considers in the autumn. The sources are pointing out that in the CIE group of companies, there are worker directors on the board, there are trade unions which are consulted, they are recognised, they're consulted, and the companies have been through the process of the industrial relations process and they have rejected, and we still have strikes. So there could be political consequences if this was to continue for the union movement. There could be financial consequences for the company. So there's a number of different scenarios how this could play out, but we'll have to wait and see how it happens over the next little while.
Now, obviously, Dublin Bus, obviously CIE in general, has financial exigencies and problems of its own, but is what has already happened in Bus Air and what management wants to happen in Dublin Bus, is this an extension or seen as in some way an extension of the Haddington Road Agreement to the semi-state bodies?
No, I think certainly there are parallels. Some of the cuts that emerged, for example, in from the Labour Court recommendation in Bus Éireann, there are similar parallels in the Croke Park Haddington Road process in relation to, say, overtime reductions and longer working weeks and what have you. So there are parallels to a degree. Staff in the commercial semi-state sector are not considered to be public servants per se under existing definitions, and they weren't covered by Haddington Road or previously by Croke Park. So while there are parallels, it is a different process. But I suppose in many ways, the scenario facing the CIE group of companies is quite similar in many ways to the public service management, that the employer basically is having financial difficulties and needs to put in place some form of a process to deal with those financial difficulties that they have.
In relation to the possibility of the escalation of the dispute, obviously the unions are maintaining a distance between themselves and that possibility, as you've already mentioned. It's such a strike would be unofficial, such action would be unofficial. But is there an element of perhaps a message being sent out in some subtle or unsubtle way to workers in Irish Rail? It's time to get dissatisfied, lads.
Well, we also saw this in the Bus Éireann dispute, where there were warnings from some people in the trade union side that if there wasn't a settlement or there wasn't an engagement, that it could spread to other parts of the group, and that is possible. And I've no doubt there are kind of genuine feelings among people in other parts of the group that their colleagues are seeing their colleagues on the picket line.
But when is a warning actually a threat?
Well, I don't think you're going to. Even this morning you heard union leaders saying they didn't know anything about the any potential threat or imminent threat of it being expanded to the rail unions. However, at the same time, there other sources in this process are indicating that there are people on the rail side who are anxious to become involved and want to become involved if this continues. I think there will be legal issues or potential legal issues. I have no doubt that in the past the management in Irish Rail have looked at their legal position when these suggestions arose in the Bus Éireann dispute, and I presume that legal position will be reassessed again. Because under trade union law, you have to have a ballot of workers before you go on strike, and there has to be 7 days' notice given. There will be an issue as to whether Irish Rail is, although it's part of the same group, is it a different company? Do they have, is there a role for them in this issue? But that's not to say that, despite the legal position, that you couldn't possibly see at some stage, you couldn't see, pickets, unofficial pickets or wildcat action just appearing at rail depots if this was to continue. And that obviously, as I say, would inflame the situation significantly, would put it into a whole different space, and could make it much more difficult to actually to deal with ultimately.
The issue of management taking cuts has proved controversial today. It appears they are going to, or under this agreement, or under the changes envisaged, they would be taking cuts.
Yeah, the proposal for management is cuts for between 3% and 5% in pay.
That's in basic pay, because the basic pay of the other employees is not being cut.
That is correct. And there would also, for other clerical staff, there will be additional longer working week, and there will be reduction in annual leave. So the National Bus and Rail Union said it wasn't aware of the management pay cut issue. Now, one answer to that explanation for that really is that the National Bus and Rail Working Union doesn't actually represent grades at managerial level. They're represented by CIP2 and another union, the Transport Salaried Staff Association. So they wouldn't necessarily be involved in that. But I think it is part of the process. If there is an overall process, that management will take a financial hit, as they did in the settlement in relation to Bus Éireann.
And could inter-union rivalry complicate the dispute?
Well, there are certainly suggestions of that have been put forward, that different unions, particularly unions that represent people at the same grades, that they obviously keep a close eye on each other, and that's natural, and it happens in many workplaces, and but that is certainly being mooted as a potential complicating factor, that one may not want to jump before the other, or we seem to be. More adopting a different line, whether softer or tougher than others than another group. So that is a potential complicating factor as well. But I think, as I say, that'll be the judgment of whoever, whether it be the LRC or the Labour Court or whatever, whoever is intervening in any intervention, would have to make, is that are the parties ready to move on to a dispute resolution phase, and that any inter-union rivalry that exists that can be put in the background to get to the issue of a resolution. The other piece we have to also bear in mind as well is that even in the event of an intervention and a deal, it would again have to be put out to ballot to members, and then it would be ultimately up to the workers themselves to vote on it again. So we may see, in a part of any intervention, the likelihood is that there will be a suspension of the action, but it wouldn't be formally called off until the ballot result was back and it was formally settled.
And the weekend intervention of the Minister for Transport, Leo Varadkar, was it helpful, was it unhelpful, or was it of no consequence?
Well, I think basically the minister made his comments that he wanted the strike to be called off, and I some of the unions saw that as being a criticism of the unions, but the minister made the point that it was that the transport service should be in the interest of the people who are actually who take the buses every day, and not in the interest of unions or management in the company. And I suppose many people who take the bus every day will probably support that view, that they want a service provided and they don't want to get caught up in a row between management and unions. So that is, I think ultimately the minister made his comments. I don't think it's going to, his comments are not going to deflect any deal, the potential deal that actually may ultimately come down the road. But I think it was just setting out his particular view of the situation, and that it's probably a view that will be echoed by many people, that they want to be able to get the bus to work every day.
Well, it's been a major inconvenience already for people who do not work a normal 5-day week, but it's really going to start biting tomorrow, Martin, when, as you say, up to 400,000 people are going to be affected. Martin Wall, industry correspondent of the Irish Times, thank you very much indeed.